It wasn't, and then it was.
We always figure it out.
Glad everybody's here this morning. We'll get started. Michelle, if you'll call the roll.
Hugh.
Present.
Michaels.
Present.
Sexton.
Present.
Straub.
Yes.
Taylor.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Great. I need a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Move Taylor, second Sexton. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Okay, now we go to the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? Need a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
So moved second. Sexton, second Pew. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, public participation. We got a presenter, but no public participation. Any communication from the board? I think I just communicated about Lorraine, and that would be the one of the more important things for our little group here. So, anything else? Okay, seeing none, moving on to the county and township motor fuel tax claims.
Nothing irregular. Just September and October claims for both the county and the township.
Okay, need a motion to approve.
So moved Straub.
So moved Straub.
Second.
Second Taylor. Have any discussion? Seeing no discussion, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passed. Okay, next we have the presentation by the annual rural transit service report for the fiscal year 23. That'd be you.
I couldn't
find it.
I want to introduce Emma. Emma is our new HSTP coordinator. Mimi Hutchinson was our previous HSTP coordinator. She's still working with RPC, but just a few hours because she's moving into doing a PhD.
Good for her.
And she's working, doing some research before getting into the PhD. Then she's still providing some hours for us, helping Emma to get familiar with C-cards and HSTP, but she's the new HSTP coordinator. You can introduce yourself to your background and all that, Emma.
Yeah, you're good. Hi, everyone. This is our annual report for C-CARTS. Kind of Rita said I'm new to the role, started back in August. I'm originally from Southern Indiana. I graduated from University of Southern Indiana in December 21. So, and I was an AmeriCorps member for the last 2 years serving with the Indiana State Libraries. So this is my first like experience with transit, and so it's been a really great opportunity to bridge my two loves of like rural community and transit. So yeah, just a little about me, but hop into it. This is just a quick overview of how, you know, our quarters are working. So some background about C-CARTS. C-CARTS began in 2011 as the rural public transit in Champaign County. And in 2014, MTD began referring to the service as C-CARTS. The service is overseen by RPC and funded by FPA and IDOT grants, as well as the Rand Tool Service contract. So the C-CARTS, we provide two forms of service, the fixed route and demand response. Demand response is a curb-to-curb service. It runs Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. This service is geared. A lot of people who benefit from the service are people who need medical trips or going to dialysis services. So that's a lot of who are using that service. And then we have our fixed route service that runs through Rantoul, the Eagle Express, and then we have our Rantoul connector that connects Rantoul to Urbana and Champaign. And that operates 5 a.m. until 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. And that's geared towards more people who are coming for employment reasons. So come in the morning, leave for work. And you can find more about that on our website. So vehicle inventory, we have 11 medium duty, 14 passenger buses, and our average vehicle life is 7 years. So these are current projects that we are working on. We are in the process, a lot of these grants were in the process of receiving the vehicles, haven't been able to receive them yet from IDOT for due to COVID and supply chain issues. But we have a low no emissions grant we're waiting on, the IDOT CVP grant, which we're waiting on four replacement vehicles from that. And the CARES funding was used for the wireless bus camera add-ons. And we have our Rebuild Illinois capital project for two replacement buses, another capital project for two more buses, and then our 5339B FTA funding. So we're waiting on four buses in total, three replacement and one expansion. And those are being delayed as well. I've heard that they're making progress on that. Hopefully in 2024, we'll have more concrete timeline of when we can receive those.
Just to point out, we have 11 buses now operating, 7 years old. We have been waiting now for 5 years for care buses to replace the buses that
the whole
have.
Thing.
We don't know when we'll be getting them. Some of the guns, most of the guns have been awarded except one.
Yeah.
Then that's why we decided to use the CARES funding for maintaining and operation of the system because we don't know when we'll be getting those buses. The way the system is working now.
Yeah. And then this is a quick overview of our service contract with the Village of Ranch Hool. This is our deviated fixed route. We just got approval from our rural transit advisory group for the 3-year extension of the contract. And that's awesome. It gives our budget a place to look at and be able to prepare for what kind of funding we're going to be getting. And we also have increases due to inflation for the amount that they're paying for their service as well. So
that's pretty good from them. That's a lot for a small village to be paying on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Shows
we have
our
talked to the village about the possibility of working with the manufacturing companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
To put some money in, to help them.
Right.
And that was when we started the service with them back in 2016. When we had a conversation with them to start the service 2014, 2015, all of those manufacturing companies were at the table.
Right.
And they were willing to put some money. But once we worked with the village, the contract, they disappeared from the table.
Yeah.
And they didn't put any money into the contract.
And Eagle Wings just sold, so maybe that's the time to bring it back to the table.
I was involved at that time. The current mayor, the current village administrator, were not involved. That's why I keep telling them, hey, back in 2014, 2015, the manufacturing companies were at the table. They were willing to put some money. They disappeared at the time that the contract was signed, but perhaps it's good for you because most of the ridership comes from workers going back and forth to the manufacturing companies.
Sorry.
It's up to them.
Just a little interjection.
Oh, you're good.
It's important.
Yeah. No. And Rita's.
Sorry, I'm just providing.
No, she always has a good explanation. Yeah. So, yeah.
She's new. My wife's new.
Feel free. So, yeah. And this is our some of the service characteristics of the data that we've collected over this last fiscal year. The major increase that we saw with the demand response service characteristics was the social trips grew a lot. And I'll go a little bit more into that around in the takeaway section. There were several factors. Coronavirus, that was a huge one, but also during COVID-19, we weren't assessing the social trips as heavily as we are now, counting each one. As social trips, a lot of more of them were medical or work related. So that increases from that. But yeah, we'll go into more about that later. System-wide service characteristics. We saw our trip denials go down, which is a really great thing. More people are getting the full use of the service. More people are using it, which is really great. We have more staff capacity, too. That was a good thing this year.
Why would trips be denied?
It can be denied for more like staffing, like if there's not somebody on hand who can do an on-demand trip to go pick someone up, that would be the most common. Sometimes there's a 48-hour period that you can call beforehand to schedule an on-demand trip, so that can also be another reason the trip was denied. Okay. So, yeah, those are the main two reasons.
Okay, thank you.
And these are annual demand response characteristics. We saw increase in our senior trips and increase in the lift use. So this means that more people who are needing help from their service were able to get it, and that's really awesome. 71% increase of our senior trips, 67% increase of our lift use.
My mother is disabled. She's an amputee. And we had a problem during medical crisis when my sister was passing from cancer. Mm-hmm. And because of that, 24, 48 hour in advance window with you all and MTD, we had a really hard time trying to get her up to the hospital from the nursing home. Mm-hmm. Is there any special emergency, in case of emergencies, like situations like that? Because you can't call, because we tried, you can't call Yellow Cab or Uber to transport a disabled person that's in a wheelchair. So I would like to see if, just for emergency purposes only, just for if a person is in a person is disabled is in an emergency, that they would still have that transportation available to them.
Yeah, and that's definitely something that we've had conversations about, trying to close that 48-hour time kind of gap to make it more 24 hours or even closer in time to make it more on-demand.
Yeah.
But we've kind of had issues just with scheduling-wise on that side. Rita can probably give more information about the medical trips kind of side of things.
And the other problem that we have is due to staff capacity. We don't have enough drivers, and that's a problem that is all over the United States, hiring operators to drive the vehicles. Then we have limitations on that regard, on how many vehicles we can have on the roadways. And on top of that, we only have 11 vehicles available at this time because we haven't received the new vehicles. Then if we don't have enough drivers and we don't have enough vehicles, then we plan the trips in advance and we need enough time to make the routes efficient in terms of collecting as many people as possible. That's why we need to know in advance, okay, this person needs a trip, and then to do the change of trips that need to be in place to be effective. Because it's like a taxi collecting people and to have a full vehicle to come to Chapin Urbana from the rural areas. Then when you call and you have an emergency, probably we will not have a vehicle available, or we will not have a driver available, or the bus is already full that can deviate to go to your house to pick up. Then there are a lot of limitations with what we have correctly.
Thank you.
The time we're having conversations about how to figure that out, and hopefully with getting more buses, we can try and bridge that problem that we've had. I've heard that from other people as well. So, we're gonna try and do something about it.
But I mean, I'm just amazed by the change, because for so long there was no transportation.
And I come from a rural background, so this is something that I know I would have really benefited from whenever I was growing up. So just having a bus system to run through your neighborhood,
helps a lot.
And so this is a breakdown of our grant funded that we got this last fiscal year. So expended all of the federal funding, and DOPE is Downstate Operating Assistance Program. Thank you. wasn't practicing that one. And so this funding comes from state that is matched with federal dollars and local match. So you can see that we were awarded a certain amount. We expended that amount because that was what we were able to match with our funding.
And we were not able to use the full amount that we were allocated to us because we don't have enough local match to do that.
Yeah.
We would need to have more contracts in place because the ones that we have to run to be able to spend the full amount that was allocated to us. But without vehicles and without tankers, we are not able to do that. It's just difficult.
And so here's a little bit more detailed breakdown of our funding, where our money came from, service contracts, and total revenue and everything. Yeah, we did not use any of our federal CARES funds beyond those we'll spend it on the bus cameras. Yeah. So, and then here are our takeaways. So the operator shortage was a major setback, but hopefully we've had more people come on the staff for C-CART, so hopefully we'll see that kind of shift. I know Clint, who's the MTD service manager for C-CART, she's been working it, trying to make sure everyone's been staffing and getting the proper hours and everything to make sure the service runs smooth. So we have had the delay in receiving our IDOT grants. That's been a challenge. Our ridership levels have been similar to fiscal year 2022. We saw the increase in trips among older adults and people with disabilities, which great people are using the service, and increased number of social trips. So yeah, tracking of our social trips were stopped for 2 years during coronavirus. Because nobody was taking social trips. So now that since we've been able to track everything, as well as there's, I believe it's Circle of Friends, is a local adult care center that a lot of people use their service to get to. And so that was another reason why we saw that big jump in social trips as well. So, and then we had issues with our CARES grant. So we had the goal of implementing bus shelters in Rantoul, but due to FDA regulations, we weren't able to help that out. So, and Rita has more experience with that as well than I do.
That's so frustrating.
Unfortunately, but yeah. So our fiscal year 24 focuses are maintaining staff service, maintain staff levels, as well as adding a new service contract. I'm currently having some conversation with Piatt County. Just, you know, nothing huge happened yet, but just starting those conversations to see what they're looking for and how we can help out any way we can. And then I'm also investigating additional funding opportunities, such as advertising. We've had kind of, there's a lot of regulations with getting advertising on the buses, and so I have some brainstorming to do, see how we can try and get some more funding on the advertising side of things. So,
yeah, there are regulations that we can use advertising, but the funding that we get from advertising can be used as local match.
Yeah.
Then we are trying to find a way to navigate that.
Yeah.
To see if we can use it as local match to be able to use all the state funding that is allocated to us. It's just FDA regulations are cumbersome and difficult to navigate.
So any questions that you all have for me or for Rita about the service, it'd be some time to ask. Yeah.
Jen and Ed and I were on a little task force and we talked about C-CARTs. Jen, do you want to expand on that?
Sure, Diane.
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but I thought maybe you would want to.
And actually, I was thinking the same thing.
In with that, yeah.
So we are on a task force to choose how the county spends our opioid settlement funds.
Right.
Yes. Okay. We don't have to go through that.
You're good.
One.
Yes.
So, you know, we have a limited, you know, it's kind of a big pot right now, but it trickles down to about $90,000 a year as we go out. So it's not a ton of money. And what we're trying to do is figure out how to best use it in the service of basically harm reduction. Mm-hmm. You know, how can we prevent people from starting to use opiates, but also how can we make sure that people aren't dying because of this substance use disorder? And it seems like in Champaign-Urbana, we are very rich in resources for that, but when we start to look at our more rural areas, like Rantoul, like somebody talked about Broadlands the other day, you know, we need access to these services that we have here, because we can't, it's not really logistically feasible for us to move the services there. So we talked about how we could get folks more access to C-carts. And I think that the stumbling block that we came up with is that, you know, it seems like they're already being so well used that that would not, that would be a capacity building issue.
You know, I would love to get the new vehicles. And so that would be something that we would be able to do. But I mean, Rita, you have...
I would say that if we get a new vehicle and we are able with that new vehicle to hire a new operator, that would be a great thing, because then what we can do perhaps is to have that contract with you, or to have the county to put some money towards C-CAR. Because the funding is for the county. All the money coming to C-CAR comes to the county. And the county at this time currently is not providing any funding at all for C-CAR. It's nothing, zero.
That's a very good deal for us.
Right.
The county hasn't put any money for C-CAR.
Right.
It would be great if it can be put as a local match, because that will increase, if you put a little bit of local match, then we'll be able to
multiply
the allocation. Then it will multiply, when you put as a local match, it will multiply the funding, because we'll be able to draw down probably all the amount that is allocated to us.
Thank you, Rita.
And with that, then hopefully we'll be able to hire another operator, and then with a new bus, hopefully one of those 10 buses that we have waiting can be used for that kind of service. One thing that we need to keep in mind, and this is FDA regulations, we cannot have a bus service just for one purpose, because it's considered a charter service.
Sure.
Yeah. So with the, so we couldn't have it just going to like a methadone clinic, but we could maybe have it going to like four different places in town.
Yeah. Hospitals or
doctor's appointments, anything that somebody out there needed.
Conversations
with FDA about what we can do and how we can do it. But there are a lot of regulations about how that service can be provided.
That's so interesting.
Yes, it is. Because, for example, we had the school district reach out to us to provide service for the kids in the rural areas that come to the Champaign School District.
Right. Yeah.
We spent like 6 months working with FDA to define how we can provide that service for the school district.
Mm.
And the agreement was that, yes, we can provide the service, but we have to allow be a route that is available to anyone.
Sure.
To anyone, the route has to be public, and anyone who is available at the bus stop at the time that we are picking up those kids has to be allowed to get into the bus.
Wow.
It's not exclusive.
It's not a school bus.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's
not a school bus. And it could be kind of the same situation.
Yeah. Okay.
We have had companies asking us to provide that kind of service for them, which would be great for us in terms of
funding.
Collecting funding, local match. We can do that because the companies want us to provide the service exclusively for them. We can do that.
Could you do something? And the one thing that in my brain was, maybe we give these people a punch pass.
Yeah.
And they get, you know, a pass with 10 punches on it, and that way they don't have to pay for the ride. Would that be something that...
That's something that we have been talking
about. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
That, yeah. We went fare free during coronavirus, and we saw a lot of our ridership numbers go up, so that's definitely a conversation that we are having. Okay. You know, if we can, we would love to, but, you know.
But that's something that we have to work out.
Yeah.
But I think it's possible. It's just talking to FDA about the best way of handling all that.
And maybe that's what we do is we fund that punch pass or what, or something like that, so we can say, well, at least we're providing transportation.
This is definitely
to get to those appointments.
To bring back.
But it's a huge deal. Just to let you know, Diane, the best way in terms of increasing the funding for CCAR is if the county allocate a local match, because if it's an amount of money as local match, we can show either this is a local match from the county, then we'll be able to draw down more money.
Okay.
And we are leaving at the table at this time because we don't have that local match.
That's great to know, too.
Yeah, that's important.
I was not aware.
Samantha, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that that would be awesome if you could help with that opioid crisis, because it's really huge right now. Yeah. Any way that we can come together and help put our arms around that community that are suffering from addiction, that would be great. I would like to see also if we can, when we do get the extra transportation and more staff, if you could really think about that 24-hour window versus 48-hour window. If we can shut that just a little bit, if we can put that maybe on you guys' top of priorities list, you know, because
that's
a lot of people...
That's been a priority for us for a long time, because any time that we do public meetings and we collect surveys from the people every year, and there are two priorities from people. The first priority, they want that service to be whole day.
And weekends.
The second priority, the whole day and weekends. Because the service is Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
And my people in the service industry really...
Yeah.
They want the whole day and Monday to Sunday. That's the first priority, more than the 48 hours. Second priority is to go down to 24 hours.
Yeah.
Those are the top two priorities from people. When we collect surveys from them, and when we collect, when we go to public meetings. No complaints about the service. They love the service.
Yeah.
It's just those two concerns.
Sure.
Yeah.
They have been in our mind, but no
staff and transportation.
No operators.
What's that?
Right.
What if we get
and no funding, not enough funding.
And my background is in the digital side of things, and so I'm hopefully going to do some research to see what like technology is available to try and make that 48-hour window a little close, like smaller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people can submit a request and then they make us a route right away that the bus people can look at and be like, okay, that's our route for today, like something like that. So then that's just, you know, I have to research and do some information about that, but I feel like that's something we can do eventually, you know, and it's finding the funding to pay for something like that
and
too.
Having the resources, having more buses, having more operators.
Understood.
Are there any more questions for Emma or Rita?
I appreciate you all working off the cuff with our very specific ask.
One thing that I'm going to do
She's
now,
good.
I know that the county has some money to contact IDOT to see if there is a way to expedite one of the buses for us, knowing that we have one good thing, is that a previous HSTP coordinator who worked for us, and she's from Champaign-Urbana, is now.
Oh, you've got an in.
Well, that's good.
She's from Urbana. She worked for us for 3 years, and now she's there. Then hopefully we can get something going.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, ladies. It's always good information, and it was something that started quite a long time ago with us in Danville and or the Vermilion County, and it's really blossomed into something that's very important to all of Champaign County. So I appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Next step, Village of Fisher resolution petitioning the Champaign County Board for participation in replacement of a bridge on West Sangamon in Fisher.
All right, so the County Bridge Fund, which we fund through our property taxes, is available to townships and small municipalities on a first-come, first-served basis, and then we use the funds to fund county bridges as well. if there's not a need in a, you know, in a given year for township or small municipalities. Village of Fisher, we actually do all of their bridge inspections. Mm-hmm. We do all the bridge inspections for all the local, mm-hmm. except for Champaign and Urbana.
Yeah.
And they have a bridge that's in very poor shape. Estimated cost is in the neighborhood of $500,000. And they asked me if they could get assistance in replacement of that bridge. And I asked them to pass this resolution to petition the county board mm-hmm. For a 50% cost share on that bridge. They've done so. The mm-hmm. petition is in your packet. And then the resolution asking that the county pay for 50% of the estimated $500,000 cost for the bridge is in there. And I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
So moved.
I would like to make that motion.
Sexton and Samantha Carter. Do you have any more discussion about the bridge in Fisher? There's a really great map, as always, so that's always very helpful. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes.
Next. Alrighty, thank you. Estimate of maintenance costs for fiscal year 2024, which includes a resolution to appropriate the funds from the motor fuel tax. To pay for those maintenance costs, we have to turn this in by January 1st of every year. We estimate what our maintenance costs are going to be for the following year. You can see there the estimate of the maintenance cost. The majority of it is the materials that we use in order to maintain our roads, whether it be rock or salt or paint or culverts or signs or oil or what have you. The total cost there for the materials is $910,500, and then we also charge the motor fuel tax fund for the use of our equipment, our big equipment when we're using it. That's that $225,000 number that you see there. So the total estimated cost for maintenance of the roadways in Champaign County for 2024 is estimated at $1,135,500, and then there's a resolution after the estimate of maintenance cost, which actually allocates the funds towards our maintenance, and that is the standard IDOT resolution that we've talked about before. I've added the signature lines for the chair and the county executive to that resolution, and I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Need a motion for the resolution, section 24-00000-00-GM.
So moved, Straub.
Straub and Pugh.
Yeah.
Any discussion about that? I got a quick question.
Sure.
These figures stand pretty constant at this point.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't see them moving too much now like they were before.
Oh, yeah. They're relatively constant right now. I mean, we saw a big jump, 30% to 40% over the last few years, but right. I think things are starting to level out now as far as costs go, whether it be road construction, bridge construction, or, you know, materials to do maintenance. So I would hope that we reached our peak, let's say, and things are starting to level out. That's kind of the trend we're seeing right now.
Right. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay, pass. Motion passes. Next up.
Excuse me, just one moment.
Yes.
We need to do something, I guess. Review and approve on the RPC. They left, but before they left, they said that needs to be placed on file, and then you guys to approve it, so it's on the consent agenda.
Except it's not on the agenda here. It just says the service report. Don't you think we needed that on there? I think we would need that on the agenda.
I don't know. In their memo, they just said the request for action, review, and approve be placed on file.
I haven't seen that directly requesting action. I didn't hear that in the presentation.
Can I have a show of hands of everybody that would like to place it on file?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Let's just kind of do it that way, like we do in some of the other meetings when it's kind of a consensus type issue versus something that's on the agenda.
Like, I guess.
Double check.
Yeah, if you're willing to place it on file, you'll go on consent, and that's.
And if it doesn't, then we vote on it. That's no harm, no foul. But thank you, everybody.
Sorry.
No worries.
Thanks for telling us, Michelle.
All right. So we have a resolution for the payment of the county engineer's salary. As you know, it's a six-year contract. This would be the start. Well, right now, it's basically the start of my second year of the six-year contract. We have to do a resolution every year appropriating the motor fuel tax funds for payment of that salary. And since this resolution doesn't have a spot for me to even add the chair and the county executive, there's a resolution attached because the clerk is the one that signs the resolution that goes directly to IDOT. So there's a resolution attached saying that the clerk has the authority to sign it and submit it, and that the resolution that is from IDOT would be attached as and made part of the resolution. So that's the best way to handle that particular resolution.
Okay, so are we taking these two together? The appropriations, which is 24000000-00-CS, plus the ability to grant the clerk the ability to sign?
Yes. Yeah, so we have the resolution granting the authority for the clerk to sign the submitted resolution, which is the IDOT resolution. So it would be a part of the resolution.
We should do them together. Yeah, Aaron, that's what I'm saying. Is anybody opposed to putting those two together since they correlate?
No.
Okay.
I need so moved.
Moved by Samantha, second by Ed. Any discussion? You want to get paid?
Yeah, it'd be good.
I guess this is state money, that's which good. Is thank God.
Right.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign. Okay. Other business.
The only other thing I have is we typically have not in my tenure had a December meeting. For some reason there's one on the calendar for 2023. The new calendar for 2024 just came out, and there's not one on there for December of 2024, and we haven't had one in the past. So it's highly unlikely that there's any items because we kind of set up the way we do business so that there isn't a December meeting. So once we get closer, I would ask Lorraine, once she's healthy, to cancel that meeting if that's the appropriate thing to do.
But where will we get our donut?
They're going to be needing to get people plowing, so if you come in, you can just...
Here you go.
Let's hope not too much.
Get in a truck and take a donut.
Now, I do have a question for you. So with the Kuwatz meeting, I want to be better equipped for those meetings. It's very informational, and I just don't feel like I have all the information that I need to pass on in those meetings. So is there something that I can connect with either you or Ms. Lorraine or someone before those meetings so I can just kind of be updated and be able to update others as what's going on with the highway? And I know I want to do the same thing with the county board.
Right.
You know.
So when Jim McGuire was the appointee to the Kuwatz, typically, I try to attend the policy committee meetings, but there's been a lot of conflicts on my schedule with that particular Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I always give an update at the technical committee. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is just write that out so that if I can't attend the policy committee meeting, I can get it to you. Mm-hmm. And then you could give the same update that I gave at the technical committee if that works for you.
That would be great.
Yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Copy me on that email.
Yep.
Okay. Because I mean, that's just the only meeting that I'm kind of like.
Yeah, it's a unique organization. It takes
it
a while to kind of get into it and figure out what's going on.
I do that at a lot of meetings. Just
I'm usually so talkative, you know, but that one I'm just kind of quiet and like, okay, that would be great. Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the best part about being on the board. You get to sample and know what's going on in the community that you have no idea about.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other business from anybody? Chair does not have a report. I believe the designated items for consent are 7, 10, 12, 13,
14? Not 7.
7
is just on file.
7
is just on file. 10, 12, 13, 14. And then our other hands up thing. Did everybody get a chance to sign the card for Lorraine? It's best Jeff had in his desk, but it's something.
That's all I have.
And she'll be thrilled.
The other one said thank you, so I didn't think that was appropriate. So.
Well, I'll definitely put her on my list. My brother's had a stroke, and
my niece's
port for her dialysis is infected, so they're on that car right now.
Wow.
So I'll definitely tell her. I'll be to see her.
Yeah, 4135.
Yep.
Room number?
Yeah, that's her room number. And thanks for getting the stuff to her. I'd heard that you were dropping stuff off.
Yeah, right.
Which is nice, yeah. Okay.
Anything else?
No, Aldi's and Sam's away, you know? It's my shopping day. Come to town.
Makes sense.
Okay, and are you done with that?
So you got to say meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned?
Thank you. That's all for